I think, as you're learning this afternoon, Whitechapel is clearly a really dynamic and changing place, especially in terms of its economic geography. But what it really is actually, importantly, is a real distillation of what's actually one of the biggest economic market shifts in London in at least one or two generations. And that's really the move away from what has traditionally been a financial business services economy, not completely, but into more knowledge-driven business growth. And what my job is today, in 10 minutes, which is ambitious, is to start going through what that means actually for London more widely, and how this story is starting to play out across the capital, and what it means really, I suppose, drilling back down into the opportunity is for new areas. Obviously, all of you are interested in how your own areas are changing and can change in the future. So what I'm going to try and do today is sort of give a talk through how some of that works.
That's him.
Excellent.
You've got it for you. There we go. Thank you.
So, obviously, standing in such an august research and academic institution, it would be really remiss of me not to start by turning the lights off. really defining what we mean by the knowledge economy. Now, clearly, there's a number of different definitions you can use. At GVA, we tend to use quite a narrow definition, really, so we're focusing on those elements which are purely knowledge-driven and actually offer innovation within an economy. Now, that's an OECD-compliant definition. I won't read the quote. You can read that for yourselves. But there are others. And if you talk to people like Will Hutton, and if you've seen him talk, he has a much broader definition of what the knowledge economy is. Slightly worryingly, sometimes that can also extend all the way down through people like me, who are business and professional service consultants, and on to sort of baristas and people like that. What we really want to do, though, is focus on those things that add significant value to the economy within London. We focus on four groups of activities. Won't go so far as to call them sectors, because they tend to be cross-cutting, but that is clearly the sciences and the life sciences in particular. The creative sector, all manner of within that, but mainly at the higher end, so around architecture, art and design, and advertising. And then really into one that quite often when you talk about property, particularly in London, is combined media and technology to form the TMT sector, technology, media, and telecoms. And that's everything from software design to computer hardware through to phones and telecommunications. So why is London, particularly, a place where all these things start to come together? Well, really what it comes back down to is an agglomeration of London's scale, in terms of its economic output. It's about a quarter of all UK's economic output. It's also a combination of the workforce. Over 50% of London's workforce have higher level degree qualifications. That's higher than anywhere else in the world as a city region. And that actually then leads itself into the third component, which is around its research base. Obviously, we have four universities in the world's top 40 in terms of their research capabilities. And places like Imperial, who are ranked seventh, actually have a larger global impact and reach of their research than places like Cambridge and Oxford. So what we're starting to see is the knowledge assets we have within London becoming more important. And we'll come back to that in a second, of why that matters for economic growth. But also, the things London has traditionally done are also really important. So when we think about the traditional role as one of the world's leading financial centres, that really helps us drive the knowledge economy. Because what it really means is that there's money available for businesses in terms of investment capital, and also the support and advice they need to go from startup through to sort of mature companies. And finally, and one of the things that's changing rapidly within London, it's always been a story of an innovation-led city, particularly when we go back to some of the financial products we've developed over the years, when we go back to even further than that, some of the actual physical products we've developed through places like the Lee Valley in the past. We're seeing today that still 17% of all UK patents are still registered from companies based in London, and that 185,000 businesses were created in London in 2014, and that's 10 times greater than the next best place within the UK, which incidentally was Birmingham. And what that's starting to do is have a distinct influence on the way, A, London's economy is made up, but B, how it's growing. So traditionally, as I said, it's been a very strong focus on financial and business services. But actually, since the recession, as you can see from the top right-hand graph, that's changed significantly. And we're seeing the TMT sector in particular being the driver of economic growth and economic output within London. And whilst it's the big firms that tend to grab the headlines, so the Googles, the Amazons, and the Facebooks of this world when they come to London, it's actually, this knowledge economy is important for local economic development, because actually what it is 50% of this is within SMEs and people employing less than 50 people. Now, the London economy average is 40%. So what we're seeing really is the knowledge economy really is a driver of local opportunity as much as a domain for the big corporates. Now, why is this the case? And why is that particularly unique to London? Well, obviously, as I said, there's one of the highest concentrations of venture capital within London. And there's more venture capital invested here than there is in Berlin and Paris combined. But also we see a greater commitment to research activities being driven through London. So whilst at 1.5 billion, that's still less than parts of the southeast and the east of England more generally with their big leading institutional base, we're starting to see that that balance is changing. There's a lot more research investment coming into London. That's clearly important as we move forward because those research activities start to spin out businesses, and it's where we can accommodate them in the future that becomes important. So it's given these factors, it's unsurprising then that London is successful and has an economy that is moving towards the knowledge economy. But that's starting to have some interesting impacts on the way London spatially works, and particularly, you'll be unsurprised to know, in terms of the focus of people like myself at GVA, what that means for the property market. And it has some quite interesting impacts. So when we look at this graph, which really starts to plan out what headline rents are in a certain district within London against, they're the purple bars, the yellow dots being the average annual rental growth, and then the green line being the average for London as a whole in terms of rent. What we really see is that the places where the knowledge economy is really growing and is really becoming established, so when we look at Clerkenwell, Shoreditch, the King's Crosses of this world, not only are they starting to achieve rents which are comparable to some of London's established historic economic locations, but their rental growth is phenomenally more significant. So we look at somewhere like North Camden, and that's seeing rental growth of over 45% per annum. If we look at the track record of King's Cross over the last few years, that's gone from somewhere below £40 a square foot all the way up to 70 and pushing up towards 80 now in the last 2 to 3 years. And that's actually really significant because what that means is where innovation, new startup businesses used to be, they can't afford to be anymore. And we're seeing two real influences of that. One, the big corporates are becoming part of that central London CAS mix, but we're starting to see the smaller businesses and more land-hungry activities starting to be priced out. If you put that in context, all these financial figures, if you compare it to the City of London, the City of London has experienced growth well below 10% in rents for the last 4 to 5 years. So there's a real issue here of how the fringe locations are accelerating away and starting to create this price pressure. So, if there's price pressure, that means there must be some level of push out from the centre in terms of economic activity. And that means there's opportunities to accommodate economic growth in different places. But what we need to realise is that there's no set recipe for bringing knowledge economy activity to certain locations. Whilst we believe there's no set recipe, we do believe that we can actually identify some of the ingredients that bring businesses and bring innovative people to locations. Now, that's not to say that this is the hard and fast rule. Clearly, there are one-off examples and other influences on demand. But we really start to see that where you're combining things like institutional presence, so where there's good access, not necessarily immediately on the doorstep where we see in Whitechapel, but good access back to good quality research, where we see business anchors being in place. So that might be your large corporates where there's spin out or support opportunities, but it's also around the sort of business environment in terms of providing different types of commercial workspace and different types of environments to work in. And also going back to the support and advisory service. So again, Whitechapel becomes quite a focus for the knowledge economy because it's got such good proximity and connection back in to the services that the city has traditionally offered. We also then move into big infrastructure. So Crossrail has been mentioned a couple of times today, the connections that leads places in different economic hubs for the first time. But also more importantly probably is the digital infrastructure and how places have the ICT, pipes and wires essentially, but also beyond the super fast broadband, how there's access to big data and the sort of data center. London is one of the UK's leading places for data center activity, and also just broad general connectivity. So Lisa mentioned earlier, there's not immediate access to Wi-Fi within this building, but when you're in most of the city of London, there is free public access to Wi-Fi as you walk the streets. That helps to change the way people are using spaces and the way innovative businesses can work. So Whitechapel actually is a real microcosm of this and shows just how all these parts come together through wider regeneration and public policy to make a new economic offer, which traditionally hasn't necessarily been real within this area. But it also has one thing that makes this decision almost a no-brainer, and that's the availability of land. Obviously, that is the biggest constraint on London in terms of the way central London can grow. Not necessarily just the pure physical amount of land there is, but also, as I touched on before, the cost. And what that really means is that we're starting to see that truly knowledge-based businesses are becoming a bit more footloose. I'm not going to say completely footloose, but they're coming a bit more footloose, and they're pushing beyond what used to be the fringe locations and almost creating a new set of economic fringes around zones 2 and 3. All going again back to that notion of how we link back to big business, big institutions, and all those other anchors. And what we're starting to see is that there's different trends in different locations. So we're seeing creative businesses, for example, almost following the East London line and stretching out through places like Haringey and pushing out through some of parts of Bermondsey, even, easy for me to say, and New Cross and Deptford. We're seeing the sciences move out probably east and west as much as north and south. So we're seeing obviously where we are today as that step out, but also towards the Olympic Park, but also west to cluster around the Imperial campus there. And we're also seeing manufacturing and production start to move as well, clearly in the traditional areas around London Riverside and the Royal Docks, but also micro-manufacturing and sort of small production clustering around traditional locations such as the M4 corridor. So whilst there are all these opportunities, there's a few places where we can really start to see how some of this is starting to play out. And if we look at the Olympic Park, for example, it's starting to replicate what we've already seen as successful in places like Euston and King's Cross, where you're starting to bring together a number of institutions, a number of public sector interventions, a number of infrastructure investments to actually create a new knowledge hub. Now that's starting to take shape, obviously, because there's been a lot of public sector and institutional investment. And the next phase on from that will really be around how the private sector starts to pick that up. And I think one of the interesting opportunities for that is, although we've got Here East to the north of the Olympic Park doing its digital and media sort of focus, as we move back down to the south, really a question of how we're starting to use the assets within central London to connect through to deliver what's being branded as a sort of London Urban Biomedical Park. So how does somewhere like Whitechapel, as it grows, help to fuel through its connections on Crossrail into the Olympic Park and also through the HS1 link back into King's Cross and the Euston area? How does that start to drive the life sciences and the potential to deliver new space within the Olympic Park that you can't accommodate within more central parts of London? And I think London's obviously critically important in its own geography, but we can't pretend that London will always do everything. And actually, increasingly, this relationship to its wider hinterland and this larger city region is becoming more important. And what we're seeing, again, is certain sectors using different institutional and business anchors to move in and out of London, and it's becoming a much more reciprocal arrangement. So we're seeing motorsport and automotive technologies linking through North London all the way up to Milton Keynes and beyond to the UTC at Silverstone. We're seeing aerospace and sort of space technologies moving out through towards Oxford and Begbroke Science Park through the sort of the satellite catapult that's out in Oxfordshire as well. And also as we move out west, we've still got the traditional corridors of sort of software and ICT, which are really important. And sort of really drilling that into one, just to give one example of that, is really the relationship of where we are today to somewhere like the London Stansted Cambridge corridor. Obviously a significant growth area in and of itself. But what we're starting to see is actually a really strong reciprocal relationship between Cambridge and London through the Mid-City Initiative, but also beyond that, actually on a slightly more pragmatic level, things like the cell therapy catapult at Guy's and St Thomas's, doing a lot of its accelerator and research within central London, but now moving its test manufacturing facility to the Stevenage Bioscience Catalyst. And what we see is this reciprocal relationship where businesses can start in London and trial things outside of London, but also those activities that are within the corridor, having access to London's diverse population base to start trialing some of the work. And we also see that with the CRIC. So we're seeing the CRIC start to bring in cancer research from the corridor, but also that connection back to the LMB in Cambridge being really important is twin centres of investment and research. I guess what's important, in summary, is that the knowledge economy is becoming part of the mainstream. And that's doing that in two ways. It's becoming part of central London's economic activity. But it's also starting to spread London's economic base. And I guess the challenge for all of you in the room and all of us generally is really how we identify and combine the factors that are influencing the location of the knowledge economy activity to actually benefit both London's economy generally, and as we just heard in the previous presentation, actually then how we make that benefit London's population. And that's really the critical part, is getting these decentralised locations to work so that we can address the wider economic and some of the social problems that London faces.